rid of the evil on that ship. Chapter 30. As was the norm of late, we got redirected before we could make it to the agency. Irving called and insisted we let him take us out to dinner as a thank you for Sam saving his ass at the town meeting. We figured we should let him in on Dr. Candela's findings, so we agreed. My next call was to Freya to insist that she and Delaney hand the agency back over to Freya's assistant and join us. 30 minutes later, we were seated in the only restaurant in town that hadn't closed early. While Sophie's stunt had placated the town members, they still weren't comfortable with life after dark, and the sun was setting quickly. The restaurant was called Indigo's and served mainly marinated shaved meat and vegetable dishes. I'd only been there once before and had thoroughly enjoyed it. A sweet 16-year-old waitress came to our table and took our drink order. It was a round of rye whiskey on the rocks for all of us. Not only did the whiskey go with a slice of good roasted meat, but we all also needed something to help us relax. It felt like we'd been pulled from one bad situation to another since the moment we got off the plane from Florida, and a little stress relief was in order. Once our drinks were delivered, we took our time perusing the menu and decided to order the carved special for the table. It meant that we'd all get to sample 3 different spice-soaked types of meat and enjoy 6 different steamed and grilled vegetable dishes. When our order was in, there was a collective sigh as we all relaxed a bit. I picked up my whiskey and took in the sweet cherry aroma. After taking a sip and putting my glass down, I looked at Irving. What happened after the town meeting?
I went back to the station and double-checked on the hazmat team. There's no way I'm letting that fall through the cracks again. Then I started drafting a proposal to get Veda contracted to produce an upgraded version of the safety suits y'all were wearing when you went to the ship, Irving said as he winked at Veda.
What? She replied, completely surprised. Those are just makeshift suits. There are already ones on the market that are much better.
I know. I don't care. I like keeping things local, and you are local. Why, do you not want the contract? He asked, worried.
Veda thought it over and replied,
Let's see what the powers that be say about it first. They really wouldn't be that difficult.
Good, Irving replied, relieved. What about you guys? Anything interesting I should know about?
We went to the hospital, I told him.
Yeah, I got word that some of the patients were awake. How are they?
Irving asked, genuinely concerned.
We only saw one, but learned a few things, I replied.
Like what?
He asked, taking a sip of his own whiskey. I ran through the events of what happened at the hospital and watched his face grow more surprised with each detail. When I was done, he sat back and shook his head slowly.
If I'd been on that ship, I would have rather tossed myself overboard than go through whatever those people were put through.
Freya cleared her throat and looked at me, raising her brows. I knew what she wanted, so I nodded for her to continue.
Irving, we are going back onto the ship first thing in the morning.
At first, Irving was expressionless. Slowly, a sort of defeat crossed his face.
I guess I won't try to stop you. Instead, I'm going to come with you.
But you, I'll go make you a suit right after dinner,
Veda interrupted Freya. Freya glared at her for a moment, and then realized why she'd asked Irving along. To begin with, we wanted him to remain compliant with our plans, and second, we didn't know exactly what we were facing. Even though Irving wasn't the world's best cop, he would definitely protect what he valued were it to be put in danger, and he valued us.
Good, Irving told her. It's settled.
Our food arrived, and all thoughts of the case, dying people, and monsters disappeared. The waitress set 3 steel skewers in the middle of the table, each shoved through a chunk of meat that must have weighed at least 4 pounds. The aroma was intoxicating and instantly made my mouth water. She retreated and returned with 6 large platters full of vegetables and placed them evenly around the meat. Then she looked at Veda and smiled.
Which would you like to start with, miss?
The waitress made her way around the table, saving Irving and me for last. When she was done carving, she made sure we didn't need anything else and departed quietly. I cut into a slice of ginger honey marinated pork with a pepper crust and took my first bite. It was so perfectly spiced that I just let it sit on my tongue for a moment before chewing. I'd remembered the food at that restaurant being good, but not that good. I wanted to recreate the place in my own kitchen so I could eat it every day. The next little while, we focused on eating and letting each other know which dishes we liked best. Mine turned out to be the cinnamon lemon lamb and baked asparagus. It was so good, I ordered a half skewer to take home with me. The waitress came to clear our plates when we were finished, and she poured another round of whiskey. Somehow, each of us knew that we needed to get away from the case, so it wasn't brought up again for the rest of the meal or after dinner drinks. Only after Irving had paid the bill and we were sauntering out of the restaurant did the case cross our minds again. And it did so in a big way. The moment the restaurant door closed behind us, we all stopped dead in our tracks. Sophie grabbed my arm.
"What the fuck is that?"
she whispered so quietly I almost couldn't hear her.
"I have an idea,"
I whispered back.
"That is the thing we are trying to rid this town of."
It was dark outside, but there were enough streetlights to see that the figure crouched in the middle of the street wasn't human. It had hunched over and started shaking. It only took a moment to figure out it was shaking with anger. A low growl-type mumbling was coming from it, but I couldn't tell if it was a sound or words.
"What do we do?"
Delaney whispered. Right then, the figure moved, and its front was in better lighting. My heart thumped hard in my chest, and my throat went dry. It was larger than I'd first thought, and covered in green scales from the neck down. That is when I saw it had a tail as well. Raising off its shoulders were six huge red scales that looked like feathers. We'd just found out what our discovery had come from. The other thing we now knew was that the creature was twice the size any of us had imagined it to be. Its face was hidden by the shadows still, but as it slowly raised up on all four legs, we saw that a body lay beneath it.
"Shit!" Irving hissed and took off towards the creature.
"What the hell is he doing?" Delaney yelled. "Irving, stop!"
Irving didn't hear her or didn't listen to her. Either way, he didn't stop. So I took off after him. Quickly catching up, I grabbed him by the arm as we rapidly approached the beast in the street, which had just seen us coming. It straightened its legs all the way and turned towards us. Its face was blood red, and I panicked. We didn't know anything about this thing, except there was a good chance it could kill you with just its eyes or by breathing on us. I yanked on Irving's arm.
"Stop! It will kill you!"
Irving tried to shake me off. And when he couldn't, he spun to face me.
"It's killing that person! We have to stop it!"
"Remember what I told you about the Basset Hound?"
I asked, trying to figure out a way to reach the logical part of his mind.
"Who cares about a dog, dammit?"
he continued to struggle.
"Think, Irving! I wasn't telling you about a dog. It was a creature, half rooster, half reptile, that murders people just by looking at them or breathing on them."
Irving stopped struggling and searched his mind.
"You mean to tell me you were serious about that?"
"Fuck yes, I was serious about that,"
I told him.
"We need to be prepared when we go after it. That is why we are waiting till morning."
"But the person, they could still be alive,"
he protested. I looked up just in time to see the beast turn and catch a glimpse of long claws flash in the dim light. It hunched down slightly and then lunged forward, taking off away from us.
"Shit!"
I cursed and looked at Irving.
"You get the body taken care of. We'll go after it. We have to know where it's going."
Irving didn't wait another moment before running as quickly as his slightly overweight body could take him to see if he could save the victim's life. I took off after the basilisk, moving my legs at a speed I was certain they'd never gone before. Moments later, Sophie, shifted into her canine form, was running alongside me. Her voice sounded in my mind,
Chasing something with four legs is a little different from something with two, isn't it?
Not the time for jokes, Sophie, I panted.
Look, relax, I've got this, she said.
She bolted forward, and in less than 5 seconds, I realized the futility of me trying to keep up. I slowed to a walk and looked behind me to see where the girls were. They'd joined Irving over at the body to see if they could help. I started running, at a more modest pace that time, in the direction Sophie had gone. At least I had to make sure she stayed safe. I ran all the way to the harbor before seeing her again. She was standing on the dock, looking out over the water. I followed her gaze just in time to see a splash 10 feet out in front of her. As I ran to her, she turned her head to look at me and then whipped it back around.
Look!
She yelled to my mind. My eyes shifted to the water and then out to the ship, where, somehow, in a matter of 20 seconds, the beast had swum all the way out and was now climbing out of the water. It didn't look the same as when it was running from us, though. The way it moved its limbs was more human-like as it climbed. It scaled the side of the ship like a spider scurrying across a wall and disappeared over the deck rail. I looked at Sophie. No way in hell did that just happen. How could it swim that fast or climb like that?
I don't know, she replied. Maybe we haven't thought this through as well as we thought. It can kill with its eyes and breath, is on four legs, which I didn't even consider, can swim like a harpoon shot in the water, and climb like a fucking mountain goat? I just don't know, Stevie.
It was the first time I'd heard her truly shaken. It's not my idea for the perfect hunt either, but we have to stop it. Think about it. The hazmat team is going to come here and head straight for this ship. They won't have any idea what they are about to walk into. I sat down on the deck beside her to catch my breath. At least we do. We'll be prepared.
I hate it when you're right, she growled. But I'm going as a dog. If we have to go after it, there's nothing I like more than to sink my teeth into that thing.
Then we better get back and get Vader rigging something up for you to wear, I said. At first light, we kill that thing, half human or not.